Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to Coaching Coordinator Podcast. We are continuing our series on lessons from 2017 and the takeaways that our coaches who are going to be speakers at our national conference have and some things we can learn from that. We're joined today by Rock Island in Illinois head coach Ben Hammer, who is also involved with USA Football, has been a master trainer and does a great job for us. Coach, it's great to have you back here on the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Keith. Excited to talk to you guys today.
Coach, we always learn from every season. It's always a time to reflect and look back and see, hey, what were we thinking at the beginning that maybe we learned from and we have to do better the next time? Or what did we learn very well that we have to continue to utilize as part of what we do? So in mentioning that, you guys kind of started the season with the idea you're going to be a two-platoon team. And that obviously is a great concept. It gets a lot of kids involved and engaged in the program. But you learned that you had to do some things to address depth as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So we started out going into our first game, and we were completely two platoon, except for two linebackers were going to play a little bit of offense. And they were going to kind of split our running back position. And the very first play of the first game, we threw an 80-yard touchdown pass, and on the touchdown pass, celebrating in the end zone, doing the kind of rocket ship thing that the kids do, one of those running backs broke his elbow.
Oh.
And then on the first carry of the next drive, our second running back, who was also a linebacker, he shattered his collarbone. And we continued to have the next man up mentality, and our kids adjusted. But going into the season wanting to be two platoon, we felt like we didn't do as good enough job in the summer and the preseason building depth to prepare for injuries. We kind of concentrated on the one position kids were going to play. And then by weeks three, four, and five, we had four, five, six guys playing both ways that hadn't had a ton of snaps at the position we are now asking them to play. So kind of the way we plan to adjust, we've gone out and talked to some people and some different coaches that have either had special athletes play both ways or have had the same type of struggles that we had with the injury bug. And we're going to still continue to try to two platoon. We think it's great for getting kids involved and excited about the program and gets a lot of people on the field and keeps people fresh for our up-tempo offense. What we are going to do differently is we're going to have like a swing period where everybody in the program has like a secondary position that they practice during the week, not as much as their primary, in order to get them ready in case we've got, because of an injury or some type of situation, to slide different kids around to different positions.
Yeah, I know that's a challenge unless you're at one of those programs that has well over 100 kids and you're going to be able to get at least your two deep, maybe even three deep within that in a two platoon system. You kind of got to be creative in how you teach those kids. And it was always something I would certainly have those objectives as well, to play as many kids as we could, but we would look at different ways to do it too. I know, like, I could think back to a year where we had a kid who started playing for us as a sophomore, and we really felt like it served him best at that point to really focus on his one position as a sophomore and start there rather than trying to inundate him, you know, as a varsity player with two. So that particular year, he really was a guy who would stay with and work with the O-line coach. But then we would have some of those guys who would swing back and forth between those positions. And I think that's always an interesting thing to hear how different people do that throughout the country. I know one of our speakers is going to be Mike Elder from Avon High School. He's not speaking about this particular topic, but he'd certainly be a guy you'd want to network with because, you know, beginning of the year, you look at his program, a lot of times he has what appears to be almost a two platoon team. And as the year goes on, and especially as they get deeper into the playoffs and you want to get some of the special athletes on the field a little bit more, those guys maybe play a little bit more both ways because of their impact they can have on the field. But then you think about it, you go back through it, and, you know, a team that's out there 14, 15 weeks, he's saved a lot of those guys, some of the contact in those games. They're coming through the season fresh.
That is a great concept, especially to be able to get different personnel groups and stuff on the field as well.
And I think that's the other key, as you mentioned that, Coach, because I think when you look at teams have gone to this and go to two platoon, and they're going to go make the decision. They'll go four wide receivers, for example. But you always have those situations where maybe the best guy to come in a short yardage situation and be that guy who's going to get up in there and maybe kick someone out or lead block on a linebacker, the best guy to do that might be on the other side of the ball. So I know at the college right. level, I was always borrowing those guys. I would pay attention when we recruited them to say, hey, this guy was a fullback in high school. He's one of our best linebackers, but if we get a situation where we need a hammer in there, he's coming in. The art of being a coach is you got to figure out how those pieces fit in the puzzle the best.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Well, Coach, moving forward and looking at how our staff has to be involved, you've kind of maybe come to some realizations and some things you want to do with your staff during the season moving forward.
Yeah, when my last job at East Montgomery, we had a ton of success. Our program just wasn't as big. Our school wasn't as big. We didn't have as many kids out. We didn't have as many feeder programs and different obstacles like that we had to address. And so it was really easy to just send all the coaches a text or call everybody and, hey, we're going to meet at this time. Something that was difficult and not really a problem, but it was difficult for me and I need to personally get better at, is that at Rock Island from fifth grade on up, we've got 36 coaches, and really networking with all of them and getting everybody on the same page and making sure that everybody was able to meet and look at their film and get their scouting report ready and do everything that we needed to do in order to prepare the kids to be successful proved to be a lot more of a challenge than I thought it would be. We have 10 varsity coaches, 6 freshman coaches, 6 sophomore coaches, and then 8th grade, 7th grade, 6th grade, and 5th grade staffs as well. And that just wasn't something that I was completely prepared for. And I don't know that we've necessarily found the correct answer for it yet, but a lot of families do things on Saturdays during the day and Saturday afternoons. And so we've kind of looked at maybe meeting on Sunday evenings or looking at a couple different scenarios with maybe offensive coaches and defensive coaches meeting separately. We're not completely sure what that answer is going to be yet, but that's something that we've definitely thought about looking into for the offseason.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you initially think, man, I'm taking another day from my coaches. But you're right. It does open the day for them up on a Saturday as well and kind of gives them a little bit more of the weekend. I mean, ultimately, you're just shifting the hours around what work has to be done. But I do think remembering back to those days of coaching high school ball becomes a little bit more family friendly.
Yes, sir. And that's something that we always, going back to working for Coach Metzger, Chris Metzger at Pinecrest, and Tim Thornton at Peoria High, well, he's at Peoria High now, was at Woodruff. It was always important to those guys. And even as a young single coach, I was able to appreciate as very little as possible while still doing a great job and leaving no stone unturned and preparing your kids to win and compete and use their skills to the best of their ability. You still want to allow the assistant coaches an opportunity to be dad and to be husband and work their jobs. I really think that that's important because at the end of the day, coaching is what we do. It's not who we are, but you're always going to be a dad or a husband or a brother, a teacher, whatever the coach's day job is.
I know, Coach, you've also mentioned one of the things that you're looking at as a takeaway from the season is how it affected you being an up-tempo team, and you had some thoughts on what you're going to do moving forward.
Yeah, and it kind of goes back to the first thing that we've looked at, so we're tying it all in together and the building depth. There are a couple games where, for any type of reason, whether we were playing another really talented competitive team or we just weren't clicking or they showed us a different front that we weren't ready for early in the games, being an up-tempo team, if you go 3 and out or even if you're having success and you score really fast, your defense has to come back out on the field. And a lot of our program this year and a lot of programs I've been around, a lot of the defensive players, defensive-minded guys, because it's so much tackling and physicality, are also playing a lot of special team snaps, the defensive players, because of the physicality of special teams. And whether your team's scoring real fast, which happened a couple times this year, or whether you're seeing a new front or struggling a little bit offensively, when we went back and looked at some of our guys' production, they were playing a whole lot of snaps. It was affecting them, win, lose, or draw. And so we're going to really look at this offseason being able to vary our tempos, go fast a lot of the time and slow down when we need to, and then go at kind of an even keel pace as well.
How does that affect you guys in terms of, have you thought about the game planning side of things, or when do you speed it up, slow it down, or do you just work those tempos into the course of every drive?
I think that there's times for all of them. Kind of the most obvious example, you're playing a team that has a whole lot of guys going, more guys going both ways than you have going both ways. I think it's a time to really turn up the tempo. When you've got a lead, I think it's time to maybe go even keel a little bit. You don't want to slow it way down and play away from your momentum. You always want to use your momentum, I think. And then sometimes maybe when your team's a little banged up for a week, or another team's got a really, really explosive offense and you want to try and keep them off the field, maybe that's the time to slow down a little bit. But those are the things when we're clinicking and stuff, both the national conference and all summer, that we're really going to look into.
Well, Coach, as you look back on your successes from 2017, what would you pinpoint maybe as that component of what you guys do? And maybe it was something that happened early, you know, for you and the way you guys approached your off-season training. Maybe it's something that happened during the season. But what would you pinpoint as the thing that really gave you guys the winning edge?
One thing that I think we did really, really, really well, we came in the year and we were in shape. We were preparing for that high, fast, up-tempo game. We could score a lot of points. Everything that we did was triple option that we really thought paid off for us as the season went on, is we were able to be in shape and outlast some teams. There are a couple games that we played in that were really, really high scoring, three in particular that I can think of, and our ability to go to high tempo when you get in a two-minute situation or an end-of-the-game situation was really a way that we did a nice job. We kind of found a diamond in the rough as well. When we had our two running backs injured, we had a sophomore step up and dress varsity and then move into a starting role at running back, and he ended up being a 1,000-yard rusher. And our offensive and defensive lines did a really, really great job. Our offensive line coach here is Tom Schmalbach, who was a 4-time national champion head coach at Augustana University, Division III school here in Rock Island.
Coach, well, that's some great stuff, and you've mentioned a couple times in your talk about the national conference. So we're excited to have you there as one of our guest speakers. Obviously, this is a great networking opportunity. We're going to have over 1,000 in attendance at that, and it's the best thing. I think you'll appreciate it, being in Illinois, that it's in Orlando at that time of the year. So out of the cold and snow. So it's a great opportunity for coaches to get together and learn. And we have a great group there. I think as you and I are recording this, we've got 87 state champions accumulated, including 8 this particular year, with a couple more coaches out there who are coming and speaking, still playing for one. So we're excited about that excellent group we put together. We have Chad Morris, who now is the head coach at Arkansas. Got some NFL guys like Mike Singletary, Chris Carter, and then our culture and leadership guy being Brian Kite, who obviously is a hot name around the country in that realm. So we're excited about all the things that we're offering to our coaches there. And you get to speak about developing the offensive line. And I think, you know, a term you like to call it, the land of misfits.
Yeah, one thing that kind of we've always done a great job in, and I learned a lot of this from Coach Thornton and Coach Metzger as well. As all my stops as an assistant coach, kind of offensive line was my niche or what I like to coach. It's still my favorite position to work with. We've always done a good job in, and a lot of programs will have those 2 or 3 kids that are these big, strong, massive athletic guys that are going to move on to college and play football. One that sticks out in my mind, Sean Pollard, we had when we were at Pinecrest. He plays for Clemson, started as a true freshman in the national title game last year. But kind of what I think becomes more important, especially for the middle-sized high school or the smaller high school, is how you develop those kids that aren't the prototypes to play that position, that are your 5'10", 250-pound kids that you've got playing guard and aren't the most athletic and aren't the strongest. How you develop those guys over 4 years. So kind of some of the topics that we'll speak about are nutritionally, how you kind of preach to those kids, because probably the biggest myth to offensive line play is that you just got to be as big as you possibly can. Some specific things we do with off-season training in the weight room, some things we do culturally that are both fun and exciting for the kids and really get them to buy into the mantra of being an offensive lineman and that brotherhood. Those guys need at least five, if not more, have got to do a great job on every play and work together in order to succeed. A lot of times, I mean, you got four wide receivers on the field and your buddy catches a fade, you don't have to do a whole lot to get that to happen. But to run the ball or protect the quarterback, all five of those guys have to work together and kind of how we develop guys over the years. And then we'll kind of finish up on the toss with some everyday drills that we think are important that we hit two and three and four times a week with those guys to really prepare them to utilize the skills that they need to execute the blocks that you ask them to do in game.
And I know we're really excited to have you talking about that idea of building that culture and bringing together a group of kids to be the offensive line. We're excited in terms of offensive line topics we have there. We have Jim McNally, who's going to be doing some on-field presentations of pass protection. We have our new partnership with Scott Peters, who is basically a contact expert, played 7 years in the NFL on the offensive line, actually developed himself in an MMA career, was a two-time jiu-jitsu champion, and developed some very innovative techniques now that have been used basically at every level. He's done this at youth level all the way up through the NFL, met with seven teams and worked with them through OTAs this past year, worked with a couple major colleges both preseason and during the season. So we're really excited about what we're doing with him and what he brings to the table in terms of blocking and defeating blocks. So it's going to be great for not just head coaches at this conference, but also those guys who are in the trenches as well, and we're excited to have you as part of that. So, Coach, it was great to have you here on the podcast, and thanks again for everything you shared with us.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.